we present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello, and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with the cutting scene in Birmingham Wildlife Trust's calendar, read by Vaughan Savage.
Sunday the 20th of July, bat and moth barbecue at Woodgate Valley Park.
Yum. Thanks to Jenny Middleton for that. Let's meet the teams this week. Will you welcome first on my right, Sandy Toksvig and Boris Johnson. Opposite them on my left, Alan Corran and newcomer Moira Stewart. Sandy, why shouldn't we bother our pretty little heads with that silly business of weapons of mass destruction?
Oh, well, because, you know, that's just ridiculous. That's people saying there was a point to the war, and we must stop worrying about it. But it's all going to be all right, because Tony, who's lovely, has gone out there. He is lovely, and he's going to find them for us. They did actually find this week, rather pleasingly, a lot of anthrax. Unfortunately, it was in Maryland. And it had been buried in the 60s. And so there were weapons of mass destruction, but no one knew they were 100 miles from Washington.
Rumsfeld's new idea was that they probably blew them up the day before the war started. I thought, what a sophisticated defence policy that was. I think they're coming, so we'll blow up the weapon.
The best explanation I thought was given by Jeff Hoon quite recently, which was he thought they'd probably been looted by 6 seconds. I mean, people had come in the night and stealthily made away with them. And that, of course, you know, does throw new light on the main justification for the war, which was stop the weapons falling into the hands of the wrong people.
American Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld has admitted for the first time the coalition forces might not find any weapons of mass destruction after all. Mr. Rumsfeld said the weapons of mass destruction may have been destroyed before the war began, or maybe they were secretly shipped out to Iran. Yeah, that's right, Iran. Boris, whose constitution is far from healthy?
Sorry, did you say my constitution was far from healthy? No, whose? Sorry, the question of the weapon.
Boris!
Yes, whose constitution is far from healthy? Question
yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Well, there are many answers to that question, but the one you're obviously groping for is the new Giscard d'Estaing constitution that's been devised and is going to be imposed on 15 or 25 grateful members of the European Union.
Yes.
And it's a subject, of course, about which we, the poor British people with our tiny minds, are not allowed to have an opinion. This is not something that Blair is prepared to put to the people in spite of what I would call its extreme constitutional significance.
Oh, yeah. Very good, yes.
That's the answer.
The whips will be very proud of you when they hear that.
It's jolly well done.
Do you know what the French is for referendum?
Is it referendum?
Yes. I knew you were bilingual. I was just testing.
We've had 1,500 letters so far, The Spectator, about this issue, which is more than we've had on any subject since.
Five per subscriber.
That is a gross underestimate, but I take the point.
It sells 60,000 copies, doesn't it, every week?
Slightly more, actually. You can't shake them off.
Government ministers have come out in support of a draft European Union constitution and rejected suggestions it will erode UK sovereignty. Senior Tory David Heathcote-Amory described the negotiating process as a dialogue of death, or what's known in parliamentary circles as a meeting with Ian Duncan Smith. I should not record that. Boris Johnson is looking very unhappy.
Can't let that one through.
Moira, welcome to the news quiz.
Thank you.
Who is or isn't, according to which paper you read, coming out in support of a more liberal Church of England?
Could it be the Archbishop of Canterbury, who says that as long as homosexuals believe, they should be welcome to the church? He's come under fire from the rest of the world archbishopry.
We sort of changed during the course of the week, didn't we? I mean, at one point we said that gays had to be faithful. It can involve clerics standing in people's gardens, or I mean, shinning up lampposts with binoculars. What is... What is fidelity, and what business is it in the church to decide what is not faithful?
The general decision was that they were not going to allow gay marriages to be sanctioned, and that what they thought was that homosexuality should stay where it belongs, which is in the church choir.
This week, the leaders of the worldwide Anglican Communion, headed by Rowan Williams, have closed the door on church blessings for gay couples. Fortunately, the ruling isn't backdated, so Edward and Sophie are still officially married.
He's just saying that to wind you all up, you see.
Listeners should know. Edward and Sophie Harbuttle, who have been...
If I could think of a way of getting round the anonymity, I would.
Alan, listen to this. The new Labour anthem. How true that is now as it was 6 years ago. Who's hoping things can only get better because the money men say it can't get much worse?
This is the Tory party.
It is.
And you've made this the anthem of the Tory party. It's awful doing this in front of Boris, who even as I speak is burying his head in his hands.
No, blast right ahead. I don't care. You say what you want.
But apparently they are broke. The Tory party is broke. There is no money. I don't know where the money is gone. They certainly didn't spend it on headhunters. But for some reason, the tiny till that was the legacy of John Major has gone, and they are broke. Wow. And I saw today that Major is not being made a Knight of the Garter because he cocked up the sale of Britannia. And the Queen and Philip were very cheesed off. They had this boat, and they rather wanted to keep it. And apparently it was a furious row. And Philip shouted at Major, and Major cringed.
Unbelievable that the Tories should be blamed for the decommissioning of a yacht which Labour got rid of. It's the genius of this party. I mean, how on earth have we contrived to be saddled with this one? I mean, rail track, possibly. But the Royal Yacht, this was a piece of petty Labour vindictiveness against the Royal Family, and somehow or other... because Alan believes what he reads in the newspapers, we're being saddled as well. I think it's monstrous.
Boris, do you ever get to the stage where you're just tired and you just want to say to somebody, do you know what, you're right?
No. and while we're at it, I want, if I may, very briefly to come back to the question which you seem to have wandered away from, the important the story, which was about the... I want to grab the steering wheel and take us back to the question of why the Tory party is apparently, you know, low in the water financially. Of course it's absolutely nonsense. It's 2 years after the election. Another election is 2 years away. You wouldn't want people giving money to a political party now, would you? It's ridiculous. But as the moment draws nearer, there will be a frenzy of cheese and wine parties. There will. Of innocent whisk drives, sparkling wine evenings of all kinds up and down the country, many of which will be attended by Simon and me giving loyal speeches of one kind. They will generate stonking revenues for the Conservative Party, which will propel it.
Are you going
to
have a bring and buy policy sale as well?
Independent auditors are refusing to sign off the Conservative Party's accounts because they fear it's no longer a going concern. The accountants have told the party there's not enough income for it to be viable, income being a technical accountancy word for votes. The Tories are finding it so hard to raise any loan.
That's not what they said on May the 1st.
Yeah. Are you like this first thing in the morning as well?
I feel someone's got it, you know.
We start round two with an extract from Boris Johnson's column in the Daily Telegraph.
Don't worry if you make a fool of yourself. Someone's got to. Bosses are there to be laughed at.
And that's thanks to Boris Johnson, my boss at The Spectator. Sandy, why has one polar explorer's champagne celebration been on ice?
Ah, this is Mr. Haddow. Or Haddow? Or, in fact, I think he just said hello by the very end because he was very, very stressed. His name is Pen. Is it short for something? Is he called Penrose?
Penhadow. It's Welsh, isn't it?
Is it? Well, that's the whole name, or half his name is Pen and the other bit's Hadow.
It's the beginning of the Welsh national anthem.
He, for reasons I can't fathom, went on one ski swimming to the North Pole. And he took 72 days, and then when he got there, he hadn't even got any Kendall mint cake left. And so he sat on a tent on some ice that was melting, rather like a sort of large martini. But he's back now, and everybody said he went at the wrong time of year, and it's best, apparently, when you're going to cross big sheets of ice to do it when it's not melting. And see, to me, that's like polar expedition rule one.
Didn't you once do a polar expedition there or something?
No. I once canoed across Africa. Can I just say that I do not recommend this, OK? It gives you something I can only describe as trench bottom. I'd be laughing myself if it wasn't true.
Very odd about the Arctic and the Antarctic. Do you see there were two simultaneous submarine accidents this week? The USS Constitution, which is a nuclear submarine, was attacked by a polar bear. And I had to go back to Anchorage for a refit. And an English one called the Tireless was struck by an underwater iceberg and has gone back for a refit. I spent a lot of money over the past 40 years buying the Navy stuff. In the event of a nuclear war, if Saddam marshals four polar bears and an iceberg, we should be finished.
British explorer Penhadow lives on Dartmoor, became the first solo walker to reach the Canadian side of the North Pole. Haddo spoke to reporters about how he managed to miss the entire Gulf War. While I've been away, the world's gone mad, said the old Harrovian who just spent 2 months dragging a 300-pound sledge to the coldest place in the world. Boris, in the words of Charles Kennedy, what's the big idea?
I haven't got the faintest idea what Charles Kennedy's big idea. Charles Kennedy is inviting suggestions from the public about what the Liberal Democrats might have as their slogan.
Yes, mm-hmm. Their big idea. What would you recommend?
It's a tricky, tricky one, really. What can you say?
They could start with, we're not insolvent.
I don't know. I mean, have your cake and eat it. They're pro-cake. Their policy on cake is that they're pro-having it and eaten, pro-eating it. I mean, how about that? I do not know what the big idea of the Liberal Democrats is, nor do I feel it is my duty to try to discover it. And if I were to come across a big idea for the Liberal Democrats, I don't think I'd pass it on to them on this show or anywhere else. that's really my answer to you there.
Do you sit on any other policy committees for the Tories at all? It would be worrying.
I stand by my phone, you know, waiting for the call to serve. I wait, you know, I get up in the night and think perhaps, you know, today will be the day. But it hasn't come through yet.
Boris, how high in government do you intend to get?
I'm very glad you asked that question, because it's exactly what the whips have, you know, what they said to me.
That's interesting, Boris, because so many politicians, like Richard Nixon used to say, I'm very glad you asked me that question. Does anybody ever say, I so wish that that hadn't come up?
The Liberal Democrats are hoping to become the main opposition within two general elections, according to Lord Razzle, Lib Dem spokesman for Cheap Tit and Bum Mags. Moira, listen to this. You're gonna find me out in the country. You're gonna find me way out in the country. Moira, where will we find the royal family next month?
This is the story about the royals. Mm-hmm. Who will be doing a royal walkabout on the 10th of June. To give the British tourist industry a boost. Mm-hmm. And yes, they're going to go to Scotland and Wales and all over the place, just to encourage, as I say, the tourist trade.
Curious thing is, she's going to Legoland at Windsor, where there's a model of Buckingham Palace. Is there a Lego king and queen in it?
Yeah, no.
And Lego layabout.
The thing is, it's not been mentioned. Is it Lego? Obviously. The finest Danish export, you see.
What?
Yes. And we, the small people of Denmark, we're very, very pleased. You call them models, we call them full-size houses. And I love the fact that she's doing something for British tourism by going to a Danish export. I think that is a very fine thing, and it's had insufficient mention.
9 members of the royal family are to take part in British Tourism Day to help the struggling industry. The British tourism industry has been badly hit by September the 11th, the Iraq war, and foot in mouth, though Prince Philip has agreed to wear a muzzle in summer. Thank you. Alan, who is being prosecuted for high-speed delivery?
This is an unfortunate guy called Mark Ferguson, who drives an ambulance and got it up to 104 miles an hour for the ridiculous reason that he had a human liver in it which needed to be delivered quickly. And the filth grabbed him. It was probably... No, it couldn't have been the M25. It was 104 miles an hour. but he was doing it down some motorway. And was charged with speeding.
Have the police... Have anybody ever tried to stop a policeman speeding?
Bad thing to say, actually, Boris. I mean, that the MP for Henley, which is in the fiefdom of Thames Valley Police, who are the nastiest cops in the world. And you should say, have we ever stopped them for speeding?
Well, I just wonder what the law was. They do regularly go through red lights. Because I got stopped on my bike by a policeman and he'd just gone through a red light. And he said, you've just gone through a red light. And I said, well, no, you've just gone through a red light. And I thought his position was, you know, but he had anything worse than mine, since if he had hit someone in his police car, he would have done far more damage to them than I could have done with my bicycle.
Well, that's true, actually, because a three-wheeler, you can hardly hit anybody in all that.
Despite being caught driving at 104 miles an hour, Mr. Ferguson denied he was drunk in charge. And even if he was, he had a clean liver in the back of the ambulance. We start round three with a headline from the cover of the Sunday Telegraph magazine.
Is this the sexiest man in Britain? Colin Firth talks to Rebecca Tyrrell. Free seeds inside.
Thanks to Mavis Jones of Dorset for that. Sandy, listen to this. Sandy, who's gone off the rails about dressing up?
This is a Eurostar. And what they think is that nobody dresses smart enough. I believe that unfit people should be banned from wearing fitness clothing.
Now that is a Liberal Democrat policy.
Well,
you to know that is a Liberal Democrat
policy. Well, I don't care. I think it's revolting.
Well, I cannot
be doing with men in jogging bottoms who are flopping all over the place like a badly packaged set of wall sausages. It really...
How are they supposed to get fit again? How are they supposed to get fit? They've got to run around in something, haven't they? What are you saying? They run around in a suit the whole time?
No, I think it's fine to wear fitness clothing in the gym. And in my day, when you went on a nice trip, you dressed up and it was a little bit of a special thing. And that's the idea, is that we're just not going to have horrible people in lycra. And singlets.
French design guru Philippe Starck, who's in charge of Eurostar's £35 million revamp, has criticised the service's passengers for eschewing elegance in favour of comfort. Mr. Starck criticised people's tendency to wear purple jogging bottoms, green fluorescent sweaters and orange Nike trainers. He's now the target of Liverpool's first ever fatwa. Boris, why could driving in my off-road car soon be off-limits?
Ah, oh, it's not the brake on the Skoda, it's the other thing. Yeah, that's it. It is. I tell you what it is. It's the Liberal Democrats have come up with a policy to ban 4x4. What do you call them? Suzuki, sort of Pajero, Honda Patrol things, whatever you call them. That's their latest policy. And very feeble, I think it is.
I think it's very, very important in the dangers of Sloane Square to drive a 2.5-ton vehicle.
Well, why shouldn't you drive a 2.5? In fact, why shouldn't you drive a JCB if you want to? Why not?
What about eight-wheel drives, Boris, that go across whole of two carriages?
There is no law against having an eight... If you want to commute from Cricklewood in a juggernaut, that is your privilege. You may find it expensive and pointless, but it is your privilege. But I don't think it should be the business of politicians to tell people what make of car, what cc of car they drive in the city. That should be... If they want to make fools of themselves and drive needlessly powerful cars around town, that is entirely a matter for them.
Tories say, bust that ozone. That's good. It's an anti-environmentalist policy, and that's at least a policy, and I think that's very, very good.
On the contrary, they are contributing. On the contrary, I'm not saying that I recommend you, that you all go off and drive, invest in these Pajeros. But if you do so, I want you to know that you are being altruistic because you are loading your petrol tank with a fantastic quantity of the most heavily taxed petrol in the whole of the Western world, and you are contributing to the exchequer and contributing to the building up of green programs of many kinds, one kind or another. And I think it absolutely monstrous to suggest that you are in any way being selfish or unfriendly. You are being cruelly punished by this government if you are so foolish, and I stress again, if you are so foolish and such a poseur as to drive a car like that in the city, then you are being cruelly punished by this government. But the only message I want to make is I consider it my duty to defend your liberty to be a prat in.
Norman Baker, the Liberal Democrat environmental spokesman, has launched a cross-country campaign to ban 4x4 vehicles from urban roads. Defenders of the 4x4 claim they're the ideal urban family car. There's room for the kids, the nanny, the personal trainer, the lifestyle guru, and the divorce lawyer. Moira, when did the hail and rain fall mainly on the plain?
Thank God for my friend on my left.
Well, you're a newsreader. You notice it at any point.
Indeed, but I mean, not everything sticks.
Can we jump in before Alan? Oh,
I think you buggery. She's a newsreader. Let her read the news. There it is.
The reason that this story just flew out of my mind is that not too long ago in the summer, I was in a very similar predicament. This is a story of an Airbus that suddenly came into the kind of turbulence that you really shouldn't have to go through. Apparently, hailstones as big as, I don't know what, bombs attacked this plane and apparently dove in the nose cone and, would you believe, the pilot's windscreen was smashed. And it's just one of those things.
I liked the reporting of it because there were some fantastic drawings of what might have happened with, you know, people suspended under the kind of coat rack bit and people being sick and people fainting on the floor. And you just think, seatbelt. And on all those things that they issue out, you know those plastic laminates that say, mind this, take off your high heels. No pictures of how to get yourself down if you have accidentally ended up in the luggage rack.
What's hail for? What, it sort of slipped through the meteorological net. What is the purpose of it? It doesn't do anything.
You know, we just haven't worked out a use for it yet. That's the
very conservative
that's
thinking.
There is somewhere. That's the problem. Somewhere
we
or
know
other.
It's about
the man
something.
And the somewhere listening onto this program is someone who is going to invent a use for hell and a brilliant retail approach towards it.
There's another thing. You could be the pro-hail party.
Well, what's wrong with hail?
This week, giant hailstones rained down on a flight from Cyprus to Manchester. One passenger said it sounded as if the plane was being hit by machine gun bullets. He thought they were coming under friendly fire from the US Air Force. The words freak and weather have not been heard together since Sean Lloyd appeared on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Alan, your last question. Which bull in the china shop was running around like a bull in the china shop?
This is the GB antique. I've got to be careful what I say here, because I looked at the antiques this bull had trodden on, and they look like those terrible things of blue tits standing in barbola grass that you can get with the Sunday Telegraph, or indeed the Spectator. A bull got into a GB antique shop in Lancaster, and it was so... I mean, a bull had been waiting years to do this, and eventually thought, oh, what the hell, there's a china shop. I'm a bull, it's what I have to do. And he flattened it. And then the police marksman came along and shot it and killed it.
Oh,
and there'll be a hell of an inquiry because the bull was only carrying a chair leg. It wasn't. But they just did it. And it's very sad.
I thought it was absolutely, it was a marvellous story. Marvellous. And if you were a news editor, you'd want to how to follow that up, wouldn't you? And you'd sit there thinking, well, what can we organise? You know, a pig in a poke. Rat up a drain pipe.
Dog in a window.
Dog in a window. Dog in a manger. You want dog a dog in a manger? The photo of the snappers would be sent out. You know, we don't want a dog in a manger.
Dog in manger. Bethlehem shock, yeah, is what it is. I haven't journeyed 8,000 miles on these three camels to give frankincense to a terrier.
A bull ran amok in an antiques market in Lancaster, causing thousands of pounds worth of damage. The bull was eventually trapped in an area of the centre and blocked in using two antique organs. Police had to pull out all the stocks to catch him. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Sandy.
This is from the Times. It's to do with the congestion charge in London. A spokesman said that people unable to reach a call centre operator should use the internet, or if they did not have internet access, find a shop handling payments. Asked how drivers could find out where the nearest shop was, the spokesman said, look on the internet.
Boris.
Now, this comes from Metro magazine, which is the thing that you get with Evening Standard, and it's a theatre review, which says, Daniel Kramer's acclaimed production of German playwright Franz Xaver Kurz's powerful contemporary classic Through the Leaves has made its way to the West End. Simon Callow reprises the role of the alcoholic factory worker caught in a destructive relationship with a woman tripe butcher. I just thought if you wanted a hot ticket, that's obviously the one. I don't know why it amused me, but it did.
An alcoholic tripe butcher.
No, he's the alcoholic factory where he's caught in a destructive relationship with the woman. I mean, I have some harrowing stuff, I thought.
Maura.
From The Guardian. A concert goer is recovering after having his skull fractured by a flying sheep's head. The band Mayhem was carving up a dead sheep on stage when its head flew off and hit Per Christian Hagen, 25. My relationship, he said, to sheep is a bit ambivalent now. I like them, but not when they come flying through the air.
I've got an Australian moment, Simon, from the Blue Mountain Tribune. Jack Sandwell, a 56-year-old Murrungatta car dealer, has spent every spare hour of the last 5 years building a biplane in his backyard. He was due to make his maiden flight in it last Saturday, but as he tethered the trailer to his pickup, his wife, Carol, 54, ran out of the house and began hitting the plane with a meat cleaver. A neighbour who did not wish to be identified told your reporter he'd have reckoned old Jack would have had the sense to take it to the pictures once in a while.
Thank you all. Now let's look at the final score. Sandy and Boris did incredibly well and got lots and lots of points, and Alan and Moira got exactly the same number. Before we leave you, here's a classified ad from the Berry Free Press.
15 tall ship models, £245. Large assortment of sailors, £50.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Sandy Tostig, Boris Johnson, Moira Stewart and Alan Collins. The chairman was Simon Hoggart, and the news was read by me, Vaughan Sample. The chairman's script was written by Lucy Clark, Dave Cohen and Simon Littlefield. The panellists' offers were trained by Marika Good, and the producer was Simon Nicholas.